You've heard a lot of talk today about the New Age movement. And one of the questions that we might fairly ask is, why should we study it? Why should we take any time whatsoever to look at this seemingly bizarre movement? And what is it? Well, let me propose to you at least two reasons why we should look at it. First of all, I believe that most of us in this room have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a result of that, you want to honor Him through obedience. One of the last commands He gave us was to spread His word throughout the world. We're told in Jude 3 to contend earnestly for the faith. And we're told in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to make a defense of your faith. Well, if we're going to do that, we need to do that with skill. And we need to do that with knowledge. And as we turn to Acts 17, verses 22 and 23, we see Paul in this famous address that he makes to the Athenians. And in that situation, as he was roaming through Athens prior to giving this speech, it's obvious he was looking around and observing what was being taught, what was being worshipped, what was being propagated there in the city of Athens. And in verse 22, he stood in the midst of them and he said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects." See, Paul has taken the time to study, to find out what they are looking at, what they are studying, so that they can establish a common ground to begin an evangelistic speech that he's about to make. Without common ground, without first establishing some commonality, we're not going to get anywhere. And then in verse 23, he says, "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." So Paul was able to take that which they had admitted was something they did not understand and say, "You are seeking the unknown God. Listen, folks, I know that God." What a wonderful opportunity then for Paul to share the gospel with them. In the same way, as we begin to study the New Age movement, we see where these people are seeking. We see what their search is. And then we can establish the common ground and help them complete their search. Second thing is that as we study it, we see more and more its penetration in society. The emphasis on this seminar today is on education. And I don't know if you realize the resources that you have here today. I would say that in Kathleen, in Bill, and in Tom, you have three people who are on the forefront of this issue in education in the United States. And that's exciting. I'd love to see this place packed out. Isn't it kind of a shame that we have this representation for $6 when 1,000 people pay $425 to hear Choices for the Future? And yet the quality of the speakers here is no less than the quality of the speakers that was there. So you are wise in taking advantage of this. But the area of penetration education is just one small element of where the New Age movement has gone. We see it in politics. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in television. We see it in businesses. We see it in sales seminars. It is so broad today. And only as we study it and learn what it is will we be more discerning and able to recognize what areas it has penetrated. Those are a couple of preliminary comments I wanted to make. I'm going to be referring to a number of scripture references today. And I'm going to start with Genesis 3, 1 through 5. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to Eve, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan deceived Eve with two promises. Number one, you shall not die. You will live forever. And number two, you shall be like God. He held out to her two seductive, attractive promises. One is life, and two is power. And she succumbed. Well, that is the same promise that is made today through the New Age movement. You can have life, and you can have power. It is the same lie. We have the old lie is being repeated in a way that's more seductive than it's been in the past. It's broader than it's in the past, but it's the same statement that Satan made to Eve. We do not like the thought that we're going to die. We like to turn away from that. I don't want to be confronted with my own mortality, says the world. Thus, humanism, existentialism, nihilism, these other philosophies, these other worldviews, are losing favor because we don't like the thought that at my death, that's it, that everything has ended. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has created man and has set eternity in their hearts. So man has a feeling, an intuitive feeling, that there is more to life than death. Secularism doesn't work real well on the deathbed. Suddenly the man is saying, wait a minute, I think there's more to life than this. Therefore, what we see is an increasing fascination with reincarnation. It's been stated that approximately 33% of the world believes in reincarnation. That might not be too hard to believe. What becomes more difficult to believe is in 1982, a Gallup poll said that 23% of Americans believe in reincarnation. Approximately one out of every four Americans believes in reincarnation. Among American churchgoers, it's 17%. Approximately one out of every six Americans who goes to church supports reincarnation. I can almost assure you that people who attend this church on Sunday morning, some of them believe in reincarnation. That is such an alarming thought because it seems such folly to us. But I encourage you to go onto a college campus and find out what they believe there. And of course, we don't need to do that. We can turn to Time magazine. This is September 10, 1984. It's titled, I Was Beheaded in the 1700s. The subtitle, Reincarnation is Alive and Well in Hollywood. And it talks about the various people of the Hollywood community who support reincarnation. Included in this article are Glenn Ford, Loretta Lynn, Shirley MacLaine, Sylvester Stallone, Anne Francis, Audrey Landers, and Anne Gillian. And it includes such seemingly incredible statements as Shirley MacLaine thinks her daughter was her sister in one life and her mother in another. Sylvester Stallone thinks that he was once a monkey in Guatemala. Yeah. I know. I can't say anything because I'm on tape, but you can think it. There's a church in Denver, a religious science church, and I was listening to one of the sermons that was being preached. And as the gentleman was preaching his sermon, the comment that he made is, I don't like to think of my life as ending upon my death, but it's more of a sunset that I'm walking toward. And there will be a graduation to a new day. I want to learn every lesson I can in this class so that I can graduate to the next class. And that was the hope that he was giving to his congregation. So, the idea of life is critically important. We don't want to face death. What are the choices at death if you don't hold to a belief in Jesus Christ? Two, extinction or judgment. Neither one of those is very attractive. So reincarnation is a much more palatable belief. Well, the second thing is that you shall be as God. You shall be like God, says Satan. What's that power? Power. Well, if man is like God, then he is going to have supernatural power. Man is going to have access to certain powers. Therefore, there's a tremendous resurgence in the interest of astrology, tarot cards, fortune teller, mediums, palm reading, Gene Dixon, seers, Edgar Cayce, trance channelers, levitation, astral projection, telekinesis, moving objects with the mind, firewalking, Satanism, demon worship. All of these sorts of things are now much more respectable in our society than they were even a few short years ago, because we've graduated from a secularism, from a humanism, to where there was nothing outside of this life, to now it's fashionable to believe that there is something outside this life, and we can do all those different things. Seances are perfectly appropriate. Communication with the life beyond is fine. Man is still at the center in this belief system, but now he has powers. He can utilize powers. One of the so-called scientific evidences of this is done through ESP. And we see a tremendous amount of research in ESP. And these are simply ESP cards. And grand experiments have been conducted with ESP in order to demonstrate the validity of this belief system. And I was noticing in this ESP deck, it says experiments that we can perform in order to validate the sixth sense that we all have, the human psychic power. One of them is find the five key cards, one of each symbol, select them from the deck, insert them into an opaque envelope, shuffle the envelopes, and then see if you can tell which one is in which envelope. And it's through experiences like this that we prove there's human psychic power, which proves that there's something beyond the finitude of man, which proves the reality of the New Age movement. It's after lunch. People are drowsy after lunch. And I thought, let's wake everybody up with an experiment. So we're going to see if there's any validity to this or not. Would you just take this paper and just heave it over your shoulder, try to get to the middle of the room. And what I want is I want that person to come up here, but also I want the person three to your left, three to your right, three ahead, and three behind. So I want five people up here. And this seemed to be a quick way to get a random choice of people that I don't know. So we want this to be an experiment to see if this thing works or not. So just throw it over. Okay. You and three to your left, would you please come up? Three to your left would be whoever's over here. And three to your right, ma'am, that would be you. Three behind, just someone back in here. And three ahead, someone right up here. I think this would be you. Okay, so we have five people up here. And just, let's see, yeah, you could just stand. Why don't you come right up here so you'll be behind me. Great. This is good because I don't know any of you. I don't believe any of us have ever met. Okay, I'm just going to hand you these cards. And make sure you know which card you had. Yeah. You'll notice that I gave each of them two. And the only reason for that is because the envelopes I had were not opaque. You could see through them to see the design. And I didn't want to be able to see the design through the envelope. So what I'd like you to do is, first of all, know that you know your card, and then take it and put it face to face, the cards face to face. And you might also just examine the card itself, that there's no marking on it. I can't, you know, we can't see through it or anything like that. And then I got these five little coin envelopes, I guess they're called. So if you just take your cards and put them in that envelope, and then seal the envelope. Okay, now pass them to whichever one of you. Why don't you pass them to the middle? And then just mix them up. Janice, is it? Yeah. Janice, we don't know each other, do we? Okay. None of you know who have ever met me before?
Oh,
no. Okay, yeah. Okay, so just mix them up so they're random. All right? Okay. So now we've got these. Well, also, just make sure you want to just look that you can't just you can't see through it. You can't. The cards aren't marked or the envelopes aren't marked. So now we've got these envelopes with these ESP cards in there. Now, wouldn't it be remarkable if there was some way that we could tell? And what I'd like is I'd just like each of you to concentrate on these cards as well with me. And we'll just see if we can tell, you know, Karnak the Magnificent or whatever his name is there some way that we can tell which symbol is in which card? Because, see, the New Age movement is saying, yes, we can. It is evident. We can tell which envelope is in which card. Because there is a human psychic power. Now, Kathleen is talking about, and I suppose others have mentioned it as well, we've talked about the World Instant of Cooperation. There's a belief that as we unite our minds together, we can do things that individually we couldn't possibly do. Okay, so I'm just going to hold up this card. We just concentrate on this card so that I can tell which one of you most likely put the... I think this is probably yours. So, as just concentrate and... Oh, you're just screaming for this one. You said, this is my card. Who wants this one? Nobody? You do? Cece? Let's see. We have two more cards. So we put them up to our heads. What do we do? How do we allocate these two? No one knows? No feeling. Let's see. Somehow I'm not getting the right feelings here. Wait, let's try this one here. No, I think you're okay. Are you people concentrating with us? You're not! Oh, good, you are. Let's see. We have two more cards left. What should we do with the two cards? How should we allocate them? Let's try like this. Okay, Janice, what card did you have? Why don't you open it and see what you have?
Yeah, I kind of feel like I should have that.
Oh, did you really? Well, this is an experiment. I've never done this before. I swear to you, I've never done it before. Go ahead and open it up. Yeah. Let's just see which one you had. Squiggly lines. What, Betsy? You thought you should have Betsy's? What did you have, Betsy? Betsy had the star. Why don't you all open your cards? Don't reveal them yet, but just go ahead and open them. Betsy had the star. Let's see what she has. What is it? It's the star. What did you have? You had a circle. And you had the plus. What do you have? Show us. You had the circle, you had the plus, and you have... So then you must have had the square. Let's see what you have. It worked. The psychic powers that were demonstrated here... thank you. So, what we've done... You may sit down. What we've done is established there must be validity to this. ESP does, in fact, work. Some skeptics? We'll talk about it more a little bit later, except, let me say this, that what you just saw is far superior to that which you find in most psychic tents at the People's Fair in Denver, or the Renaissance Festival outside Larkspur, or in most other places you go. And yet, people would pay to come to me now and have me read their fortune or tell them the future. It's a trick. It's just a trick. It's not a bad trick. And it's better than what you'll see in most places. I'm going to do another one a little bit later, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But see, the allure of the New Age movement is power. And a lot of these people are self-deceived. They think that because they can do certain things, that they do have a mentalist's power. A cultural shift is taking place in the United States today. These two forces, life and power, are changing our society. It's having a great impact that's penetrating every level. Now, combined with these are some other factors. And let me just run through these briefly. First of all, we see an abandonment of propositional truth, of absolute truth, of moral standards. Sincerity has been elevated to the greatest level, despite the fact that one individual has said the most overrated of virtues today is sincerity. What that means is a lot of people are saying to us, we don't really care what you believe as long as you are sincere. Absolutes don't belong anymore. Moral standards don't belong anymore. What matters is, are you sincere? Tolerance is elevated to a very high level. Let me give you an example of this. This was in Parade magazine several months ago, a story on Sharon Gless, who plays on Cagney and Lacey. The very end of this article says, in my reality, metaphysically speaking, AIDS is not going to happen to me. Two or three times a month, she attends seminars at something called Concept Synergy in Mill Valley near San Francisco. There she has learned, you create your own reality. Things don't just happen to you. At one seminar, during a meditation or trance, she met herself as a young child. I liked her a lot. With harm to none, she adds, that's what I meditate on. You can have anything you want, be anything you want, do anything you want, if you don't do harm to anyone, starting with yourself. I'm a good person. I never hurt anybody intentionally. See, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in your belief. So a natural offspring of this is the concept of relativism. Instead of looking at propositional truth, which our country has stood for, the Judeo-Christian ethic, the truth of the Scripture, those kinds of things are falling by the wayside, and now relativism is very big. And when you talk about a big issue in education today, I would think that relativism is one of the largest. Because there are no standards, so what do you personally believe? Third thing that's happening is a belief in a personal God is starting to diminish greatly. Instead of a belief in a personal God, there's more of a belief in either a deistic God that set the whole thing up and has now stepped aside and doesn't take part anymore, or a pantheistic God that permeates everything. It's a force that unites everything, holds it all together. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. The next thing is that we've moved away from traditional values, yet we cling to a form of these values. When you talk to someone about how his New Age beliefs affect the way he lives in society today, he may say something like, I am very opposed to what's going on in child abuse. I don't like the way animals are being treated. I'm offended by what's happening to our ecology. Those sorts of things. Yet, man has dignity, they say. Well, if you take away absolute truth, if you take away propositional truth, if you remove standards and go by relativism, then it's just a subjective decision that people will make based upon the evidence they have available to them or whatever they themselves would like to believe. For instance, at a Woody Page talk show in Denver just the other day, they had an animal rights activist on, and this woman said that when cosmetics are tested on animals, sometimes the animals are affected. Sometimes they are blinded. Well, the reason they do that is because they want to test them before they release them for general use in the public. This woman, this animal rights activist, said she would rather blind a healthy rabbit than she'd rather blind a handicapped child than a healthy rabbit. Woody Page, as he was listening, said, "That's wrong. We don't want to do that." She said, "Why?" And he couldn't respond. He had no response. Because as we move away from the man being created in the image of God, of the dignity of man, as we move away from that, we don't have anything to cling to anymore. If it's all relative, then why shouldn't? Who's to say that woman is wrong? It has great impact on our society. The potential is great. For the first time, I heard on national television about probably 2 months ago, it's the first time I have heard actually stated on national TV that we should have the choice at any time we want to both abort retarded, potentially retarded children, and infanticide on those who are born retarded. That's the first time I had actually heard it mentioned on national TV. The feeling goes out from many people, well, that's wrong. But if you've moved away from propositional truth, from moral standards, from moral absolutes, you can't say why it's wrong, nor can you impose your judgment on somebody else, because whatever is right, you can go ahead and do, just don't force your judgment upon me. So this has great implications. The next thing we see is that sin is attacked in the structure of society and not in the individual. That is another significant change that is occurring. Political institutions, big corporations, social institutions, those things are evil. John Denver recently said, I believe it was at WinStar, that this grand experiment called democracy does not appear to be working. There was no comment about the fact that certain individuals in society may be leading lives that are contrary to that which their Savior set up for them in the first place. No, the sin is in society. The sin is in government. The sin is in institutions. And so therefore we need to tear down those institutions. We need to break up that government. But the thought that sin could be personal escapes them. Me first. You can have it all. Grab all the gusto you can get. Those kinds of things are okay. It's the institutions that are wrong. Finally, it's interesting to look at two examples of countries that do not have the Judeo-Christian ethic that we have had, that we believe in. Look at two. Look at a secular state, one that has tried to drive Christianity out of it, the Soviet Union, and compare it in almost any way to the United States. Or take another country, one that has devoted itself almost militantly to its faith, and that's India, and its Eastern mystic, pantheistic worldview, and compare almost, again, almost anything. Look at cultural contributions, social concern, technological advances, scientific and medical developments, and compare the three systems. Yet there are many in our society today telling us that those countries are the ones that we should be modeling ourselves after. It's hard to believe, but it's true. So it's against this background that we can further evaluate the New Age movement. The New Age movement is not simply a new cult. It has no one leader. It's not one single organization. It's a cultural trend initiated by a worldview of occult mysticism and Eastern pantheism, Eastern thought. One way to look at it, perhaps, is that Western marketing and Eastern mysticism have met. And so now many of you remember when the Beatles first brought in their TM-er, and he had his long beard and his robes, and Ravi Shankar was following around playing the sitar. Well, it was pretty tough for 20th century Americans to follow this kind of guy. So what happened is there was a retreat. It seems like this is what happened, and that Madison Avenue and Eastern mysticism came together. And now there's a new explosion of EST, which is now called Forum, Life Spring, Life Training, of yoga, of New Age. It's a creeping influence that's impacting every level of our society. It's an attempt to get the benefits of the millennium without bowing down before God. It's an attempt to get the rights of the kingdom without bearing any of the responsibilities. It's no wonder that it becomes seductive and interesting. To demonstrate the breadth of it, I brought these two magazines, I guess you could call them, that deal with those things we would affiliate with the New Age movement. And if those of you sitting in the front perhaps can see that there are maybe 10, 20 different groups on each side of each page, and this is perhaps 100 pages. We might have 1,500, 2,000 different groups that are represented in this magazine alone. And then this one I picked up at the same time. These were both picked up in Northern California. And this one I picked up at the same time. And as you leaf through them, you see astrology, hypnosis, the craving from within, Reikian psychotherapy, past life therapy, heal thyself, body, mind, spirit, focusing training, grief support, video therapy, handwriting analysis, on and on and on and on and on, covering every facet of society. This stuff is very, very broad. It would be too technical to get into much of a history of it, but where we see the explosion, where we saw it, has been in the last 20 years. When the Beatles brought in the Eastern mysticism, probably popularized it for the first time here in America, made it big and famous. When George Harrison wrote My Sweet Lord, remember the first time you ever heard that song? And we all thought, my goodness, the Beatles are now Christians because they're singing My Sweet Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. We didn't wait around to hear them singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna in the same song. But what they were basically showing us is that all religions are the same, and all that's important is that you be sincere. In the last 20 years, there's been an incredible explosion in the belief, and now it's permeating our country in ways that are mind-boggling. New Age thinking consists of various elements. Let me just run through them briefly for you. First of all, it's monistic in thought. That is, there's a universal oneness. We transcend dualities. There is no male or female. There is no good or evil. There's only one thing. It's monistic. There's only one. There's no this, that. Oneness. Unity. Secondly, this oneness is all God. Pantheism. There's only one divine essence. God is not personal. God is an it. God is a force. Carl Sagan says, cosmos is all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. Everything is cosmos. Cosmos is the unifying force that brings everything together. In the movie Star Wars, it's the force. Remember when Luke Skywalker was standing on his spaceship and he was trying to hit the little robot that was zipping around and he had his lightsaber out and he couldn't do it? And his guru told him, put on the blindfold. Now, Luke, tap into the force. Become one with the universe, in essence. Once you do that, you will realize you're not separate from it and apart from it, but you can know where things are. And it was when he did that, when he put the blindfold on, that he could then become one with the universal consciousness. The goal of this all is the third element, monistic, pantheistic, all is one, all is God. If all is God, then you and I are gods. Is it any wonder that this sells well, that people are making a fortune in training institutes because someone with a low self-image comes in thinking he's an evolved ape and he goes out realizing that he is God? Boy, I sometimes think, how can I fund my ministry? And sometimes I think it would be to start off by selling these institutes and then telling people that they are God, because people are lining up to pay a fortune to go to these things. And it's no wonder. Theodore Roszak, one of the well-known New Age writers, says the goal of the New Age movement is to awaken to the God who sleeps at the root of the human being. There's a God sleeping inside you, and if you knew it, you would realize the potential you have and the supernatural powers that are available to you. Swami Muktanandi said, kneel to yourself, honor and worship your own being. God dwells within you as you. Who is God? God's not something separate and apart. He is you. Recognize that. That's what they're saying. Fourth, syncretism. And that is, there are many ways to truth. All ways are relevant, just be sincere. A name that's been mentioned here today is Robert Mueller. Let me read to you something from his book, New Genesis. I am not so fanatical as not to respect other faiths. I would never fight with one religion about the superiority of mine. What is the best religion? Mueller's reply is the one he gives anyone who asks that question. You have about 5,000 religions on the planet, he says. You'd be dead before you studied them all to decide which is the best. You are born into a religion, and it will give you full satisfaction. Be interested in all religions and what they have in common, but there is no compelling reason to switch. And this is coming from a so-called religious man. It's syncretistic. There are many ways to truth. Just if you want to be a Buddhist, if you want to be a Hindu, if you want to be an atheist, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a Hare Krishna, no matter what you want to be, just be it sincerely, because that's what's important. And this is, again, a very influential man. Those of you who heard Kathleen earlier, she referred to him, and this is what he is using his platform for. Shirley MacLaine is another one. It doesn't matter what you believe, we're all gods, so just go ahead and believe what you want to believe. Well, what's limiting us? How come we haven't transformed the world? Why don't I experience supernatural powers? Why can't I levitate here in front of you? It's because we have not yet been transformed. We need to recognize, we need to change our consciousness to realize this unity and realize the power we have. We need to transform through a change in consciousness. This change in consciousness can occur through various methods. We can do it through meditation, we can do it through yoga, we can do it through drugs. There are many different ways to do it. We can do it through a fire walk experience. Walking on hot coals is a big thing these days. There are many different ways to do it. What we need to do is recognize the God that lies within, the unity that is then. The World Instant of Cooperation, more will be said about that a little bit later, but one of the goals in that is to transform the entire world in an instant by bringing together 50 million people to meditate all at one time. It's thought that as we do that, we can transform everyone at once. Well, then finally, this leads to spiritual power. As we do transcend ourselves, as we realize the full human potential, power will be realized. And therefore, in the second Star Wars, Luke could not quite raise that submerged spaceship out of the muck, but Yoda, his guru, was able to do it. And by the end of Star Wars, Luke could do it too. So full power can come. Firewalking. The reason firewalking is popular is because you sit in a seminar, whoever leads it tries to tell the people that they have power. That power can be manifested by walking across hot coals. At the end of this session, which costs $350, you can go ahead yourself and walk across those hot coals. I want to do one more experiment for you. Those of you who were here at the pastor's luncheon a month ago, I did this, but I've refined it. I've got an improvement upon it, which I like. Pat, would you come up here? I'll have you help me on this one. This is an ordinary pack of cards, United Airlines.
Fly the friendly sky.
That's right. Yeah, it's just a random pack of cards. And what I'd like you to do, Pat, is we'll get someone out here to give us a number and just count like this, count that many cards down, and then stop at that point. Okay? That's all I'd like you to do. And let's see. Pat, you want to pick some? Now, you and I didn't set this up, did we?
No.
I've never met you before. Okay. You want to pick someone out that you don't know?
This lady right back here in the blue.
In the blue. This one right here? Okay.
Me?
That's right. Ma'am, did you set this up with him ahead of time? Okay, would you just pick someone at random? Pick someone at random, anywhere. This lady right here? Okay, ma'am, this is totally unknown to you, right? Okay. I hope you people believe that I didn't get all three of these people to do something together with me. Would you just pick a number between 1 and 52? Say between 10 and 40. 26? Do you people like the number 26? Is that a good number? I see a few heads nodding. Is there anyone who is suspicious of number 26? 27? Okay, this man wants 27. Okay, we'll use our skeptic's number here. Now, you and I haven't set this up, have we? Okay. Okay, Pat, would you just count off? Just
27?
Yeah, just 27. 4, 5, 6, right?
You're confusing me.
Okay. Okay, now just put those on the bottom of the deck.
On the bottom.
Yeah. Now, what I want you to do is slide, why don't you just slide that card down here so that no one, including me, no one knows it, no one can see it. Okay, now just turn the deck over so that all the cards are face up.
Like that.
Right. Now take that card and slip it into the middle. Again, so that you don't know what it is, no one else knows what it is. Okay, slide it all the way in. Okay, now there's only one card that is face down in the pack. The rest are all face up. The thought is that if we unite our minds, we can discover what that card is. Now imagine how compelling this would be if you had paid, or were about to pay, if we were to break now, and if I were to say to you that there is an ability in the human mind to do things that are supernatural. People who do these tricks normally use an ESP deck that has five symbols in it. There are 52 cards in that deck. 52. So if we can decide, if we can determine what card that is, that would be a pretty good trick. So I want you to just think about that for a moment. What card do you think is there? What card do you think is there? You have communicated to me a card. What is it? What did I write down? Would you just see what card that might be there that's face up? Five of hearts.
Five of hearts.
It's the five of hearts. You communicated it to me. Again, and it's not a marked deck, or it's just an ordinary deck. See, when you don't even know what the card is, you have the power to communicate that. That's all. Thank you.
You gonna let me in on it?
No. It's a trick. Folks, it's a trick. I have no psychic power. You have no psychic power. It's a trick. It's a good trick, but it's a trick. This ESP stuff that they're using to get people to sign up to pay more money, it is a trick. That's not to say that Satan doesn't have power. He does have power, and at times that power might be manifest. But most of the time, if I, with just a simple amount of time and simple knowledge of certain magic, and do not depend upon my income for it, can do something which will fool almost every person here, how much more so someone whose whole livelihood depends on his abilities? It's a trick. And if we look at what Jean Dixon says over and over and over again and see how often she is wrong in her prophecy, we see that she is fooling us. If we look critically at what Edgar Cayce is saying, we see he is fooling us. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has said, if you follow me, I will take you to the second level, to a siddha meditator, which is capable of levitating. There is now a lawsuit being filed against him by a former TMer who said, I paid all the money and I never was able to levitate. And supposedly there are pictures, but why don't they levitate? Walking across hot coals is a trick. It is a fraud. Any one of us right now could go outside and walk across those coals. Because of the ability of the embers to transfer heat, it does not do anything that would burn your feet if you walk across it quickly. It does not burn your feet. But they preface it with a $350 seminar and say that you have the power to do it. Notice they never give their three-hour lectures standing in the middle of the hot coals. If there were mind over matter, they could do that. And they don't. They choose not to. They'd rather instead give their lecture elsewhere. The appeal of this is in several areas. First of all, it provides a spiritual view of life. You are potential gods. You're not evolved apes. Atheism, salvation comes through human reason and technology. Well, human reason and technology isn't working. So now through the New Age movement, salvation comes through human consciousness and supernatural power. Much more intriguing. Much more appealing. It also allows a supernatural fascination. People are allowed to dabble in the supernatural and not be inconsistent with those things which they believe. Third is that man is elevated. He is the measure of all things. Secular humanism is now infused with mysticism, and now we call it cosmic humanism. Fourth is that it offers hope, transformation, human potential, supernatural power, and reincarnation all provide hope in a world that's full of despair. Also, we see it's seductive. You can have it all. You can be what you can be. Here are two definitions that have been proposed, and I believe these are out of forum. Responsibility is do what you like and admit you did it. That's what responsibility is. Do whatever you want. Before we got involved and said, that's it, folks. One of the questions that was raised earlier is how can we get people involved? I'll tell you, when they get their hands on something that you hold dear, that's when you get involved. And I hope there are enough of you with enough courage to get involved, even though it hasn't impacted you personally yet, because if you wait, it might be too late. This book, The Transformation, was going to be used in our public school system, and it starts off on page 1. The anticipatory sense of the coming of a new age is shared by soothsayers, astrologers, and others of a visionary turn of mind. On page 201 in the chapter called Beyond Incest, now keep in mind, beyond incest, we are all one. Everything is one. The flowering of the transformation will probably bring with it a progressive erosion of the incest taboo. Marriage will not be the dominant factor in the new sexuality. The conventional incest taboos may fall quietly, almost unnoticed. As humanity comes closer to a true unity, a unity of being no less than of politics, sexual barriers will simply be ignored. Recognizing that all bodies are part of the same field, ultimately one, we shall not hesitate to touch what is really ourselves. In the chapter called Beyond Incest in the Englewood Public School, when my wife and I saw that, and thought of our children in Englewood Public Schools, we said, that's it. You've won. We're going to go fight it. I mean, you've won. You people who've been talking about this, we're going to go out there and fight it too. So we got involved. Unfortunately, that book is not there. So good can happen. There are good stories to tell. There are still some response. Another critique of it, humanity is good, they say. There is no sin. Isaiah 2:22 says, stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. Why should he be esteemed? Man is nothing. Man is a vapor. Man's created image of God, but it is God who is to be esteemed and not man. Also, it's elitism. Only the transformed should lead society. Some action steps you can take. We've got two excellent seminars again this afternoon, which will deal more specifically with action steps. But let me mention some broad ones. Get into the Bible. Know the original. The counterfeit is most often recognized when we know what the original looks like. When you go into Washington, D.C., at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, they have a demonstration there of counterfeit bills. I'll tell you, if you look at them, you could not possibly tell them from an original. But to someone who has studied the original, he picks it up like that. Know the original, and you'll be able to recognize the counterfeit. Secondly is inform yourself. Make an intelligent response. Provide alternatives. Very often, the New Age is being created because we are not involved ourselves. The New Age will penetrate wherever the church retreats. If we're not providing activities for the youth, if we're not involved in journalism, if we aren't getting involved in media, if we aren't teaching, if we aren't doing these things, the New Age is going to take advantage of that. So let's try to be on the cutting edge. Discern false views and reject them. There is no cheap grace. Be willing to speak out. Get off the defensive. Don't water down the message. Be involved in politics. Be involved socially. The opportunities for getting control of a school board are much greater than you might think. When only about 5% or so of the people participate in school board elections, if the Christians got together, we could certainly accomplish a lot. One of the big problems of that is if the Christians got together. Now, why can't there be more unity in the body? These groups that I held up here earlier, these two big booklets, if they thought about it, they're totally at odds with each other. All of the things that are listed here together. But they can get together. They can network. We're not allowed to, it seems. Let's work together, recognizing the differences that exist within the body. Also, this whole question about apathy, I think, needs to be addressed as well. There are problems in society and the world. There are increasing numbers of Christians, supposedly, who respond favorably to Gallup polls. Yet let me read to you two quotes. First one is from Chuck Colson. It is a bewildering paradox that one-third of all American adults claim to be born again and yet fail to impact our society, which becomes sicker and more corrupt by the day. Religion is up, but morality is down. And secondly, by George Gallup, Jr., America in 1984 appears to be confronted with a great paradox. Religion is growing in importance among Americans, but morality is losing ground. Why? Because we're not speaking out. We're not taking the stands that we need to take in proportion to our numbers in society. I believe if we did that, we would have good success. Let me close with some scripture verses that I think are vitally important for us to consider. The first one is Ephesians 6:12. Merely having a conference here today is not going to be the answer. For Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is a cosmic battle that's going on. It's big. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to overlook individual differences and go with a verse like Ephesians 6:12. And then 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 and 13 to 15. "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." See, sometimes they're even going to be disguised as an apostle of Jesus Christ. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." Again, a cosmic battle, and some people will come disguised as angels of light. And Daniel 10 is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Daniel, the great man of God, Daniel, is praying, and 3 weeks after he begins his prayer, the angel comes to him with his answer, and he says, "Daniel, when you first prayed, I was sent out with the answer, but the prince of darkness would not allow me to get through. And for 3 weeks, I have been fighting with him until finally Michael the archangel was sent. And through Michael's intervention, I've been able to get through, and now I'm here with you." Well, if that kind of cosmic battle is going on because of Daniel's prayers, we can assume that those same kinds of cosmic battles are going on today. There are great wars that are being fought, and we're on the front line. The good news comes in verses such as, there are many, many, many of them, and I want to end on a positive note. 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Oh, what an exciting verse that is. We have supernatural powers available to us, supernatural weapons. And Colossians 1:12-14. "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We are called to be salt and light in this world. Salt, it seasons, it tastes good, it adds flavor and zest. It also arrests decay. It prevents corruption. Are we doing that? Light, it illuminates and penetrates the darkness. Are we doing that? Sometimes people say to me, "But I'm such a small person. I don't have much influence on our society." Friends, it's dark out there, and a little tiny light in a dark place casts a great beam. And you've got that opportunity. In Acts, I started when I mentioned Paul standing before the men of Athens. And remember what he said? He spoke to them. Listen how that concludes. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this, Paul. We'd like to hear a little bit more. We haven't made up our minds yet. We'd like to hear some more." So Paul went out of their midst. But some men joined him and believed. There were three responses to what he said. Some sneered, some said, "Not now, but maybe later," and some believed. And isn't that exactly what we would want? John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Hallelujah.